Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is an invisible battle going on right now. The hard thing about this battle is that it takes place in visible, physical locations. It can be misleading, attempting to make it look as though physical actors and actresses are the ones to blame, instead of the invisible forces. The cosmic invisible evil forces in league with Satan and the fellow fallen angels and demons that went with him. There are ways to fight these forces. You all saw one this morning. A child was brought to the font of holy baptism. Luther, a fellow fighter of the faith, is pretty well known for saying that when a child is brought to baptism, the child is put to death. A new creation comes out of the font. A fellow believer. Again, quoting Luther, a fellow target. We have all been made a royal priesthood in Christ Jesus through the washing of holy baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But as compared to the princesses and queens and kings and princes of fairy tales, the royal priesthood is not a life of luxury. A target has been placed upon us, a target that Satan and all of his forces work extremely hard against. Each of you have already likely found a time in your life where you have noticed this target, or at least the effects of it. Satan and his forces working against you. Our lives as new creations who have a battle to wage against the invisible enemies. Some battles are over very quickly and easily, and some battles are excessively hard. Others are ones that perhaps we feel that we need to retreat from. Yet you are still here. You have not fled from God. You are here hearing His word and receiving His gifts. The battle is far from lost. Nevertheless, there may be those times that it feels that the battle has been lost, or at least the invisible enemies are winning and that you have been surrounded. That is precisely how Elijah felt in our Old Testament text this morning. But as we'll find in his account and in our own, the battle belongs to the Lord. In Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. In order to properly understand this account of Elijah, we must first remember who Elijah is and what had taken place before this account. So in 1 Kings chapter 18, just before our text, we have recorded for us a battle waged by God through his prophet Elijah against the prophets of Baal. You see, the prophets of Baal had been speaking all good things about Baal and how great and powerful he was. And so Elijah puts them to the test. He says, let's have a competition, you and I, and we'll see whose God truly exists. You build a stack of wood together and put a couple bulls on them, and I will do the same. And then you pray to Baal, and you can do that first, and then I will pray to the Lord God, the God of Israel, and we'll see which God answers our prayer. And so the prophets of Baal build their stack of wood and put the bulls on there, and they dance and they pray and they sing. And after several hours, they begin cutting themselves as part of the ritual that they have for worshiping Baal. And finally, Elijah starts poking fun of them and mocking them. Where's Baal? Is he sleeping? And finally, Elijah says, Baal has had his chance. And he goes to the stack of wood that he has composed and the bulls that he has put on them, and he completely drenches them in water. He drenches them. And then he prays to the Lord God, the God of Israel. And God sends such a fire that it burns the wood and the bulls completely, despite them being drenched. What a display of faith. One prophet takes on a series of prophets of Baal, and yet wins. Through the Lord, Elijah wins. All the witnesses of this great competition saw that Baal did not exist, and that the God of Israel, the Lord God, not only exists, but that he can and does act. Has there been a time in your life, or perhaps even a few, where God has demonstrated his presence in your life? Has God ever acted in such a way that there was no other way of saying that anybody else could have been to blame or to thank but God himself, because he brought you through that situation? Granted, this is harder to see in these days because God no longer speaks to us through the prophets, but through the word of his Son, Jesus Christ, the word of God that we hear on Sunday mornings at church. At the same time, hindsight can sometimes help us to see that God has been effective in our lives. Maybe not during the battle, but after the battle is over, we look back on it and we see, yes, the Lord was involved. Yet this is a war which will not be completed until Christ Jesus returns from heaven. Like all wars, there are battles which are easier fought and those that are harder fought, and sometimes even retreated. And again, that is where Elijah found himself, retreating and fleeing. He'd had this great mountaintop experience showing that all the prophets of Baal were wrong, only to return home to find the queen of the land, Jezebel, wanted his head, not to bless it, but to take it off. And so he finds himself fleeing. He flees toward Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And when he arrives, he takes shelter in a cave, and that's where the Lord finds him in our text this morning. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Life ebbs and it flows. There are those extremely high points, and then there are the excessively low points. That is the fact of life, not only for just regular life, but especially for the baptized life of faith. From baptism, we have that target put on us. And Satan does everything he can to make us doubt, to make us distrust God, and to turn us away from what happened on the cross of Calvary. To make us think that that particular sin or those particular sins are so great that God could not possibly have forgiven them. We can see the doubt in Elijah as he flees from Jezebel. He had just had that mountaintop experience against the prophets of Baal, and then he learned that the queen of the land wanted his head. But despite his fear, where does he go? He goes to Mount Horeb, the Mount of the Lord. He flees toward the Lord. There in the mountain of God, God spoke to him, "What are you doing, Elijah?" The loving question of every father to his son. The question and Elijah's response actually come twice. Once before the mountain, or the fire and the earthquake and all of those things, and once again following that same question with the same response from Elijah. "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left." How often might we feel the same? Can you count the number of hot topics there are in our nation today? Creation and evolution, pro-choice and pro-life. The list goes on and on. And this year especially, who is going to be the next president? Whether it's in the workforce or at home or even in the hospital, you can, and in some cases do, run across those of a different faith, or perhaps they don't believe in anything at all. Sometimes they outnumber you. Or sometimes it might be that their position is one that you greatly fear. Perhaps it's a boss. Perhaps it's a president. And so you feel that great fear. You find yourself saying along with Elijah, "I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." But then the words of comfort. "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Elijah was not alone. He had 7,000 fellow believers, 7,000 who had not gone after Baal. Just a few weeks ago, we had a sister in Christ return from a trip to Madagascar, and she told us about how there are 2 million LCMS Christians in this nation. And more than that, there are 4 million LCMS Christians in Madagascar. You and I are not alone. And more than that, we have a God who loves us as a father. A God who calls us his sons and daughters through his son, Jesus Christ. How does he do this? Well, because of Jesus' other name, Emmanuel, God with us. God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to pay the condemnation of our sins, the condemnation that we rightly deserve. He took to the cross of Calvary and paid for it there. He paid for all of it there. Yes, the condemnation that you and I rightly deserve has been paid. Now we are children of God. Yet we still retain those targets on our backs. Satan has lost at Calvary and he wants to make us doubt and ignore what took place at Calvary. He wants us to lose our faith and trust in God so that we lose with him. So we continue to wage war and fight the good fight of faith. Not against our brothers and sisters in the flesh, but against the invisible enemies, sin, death, and the devil. But even that is not the end of Elijah's account, or our own. When Elijah had completed the work the Lord had prepared for him, the Lord allowed him to pass the mantle of prophecy onto Elisha. And after that, he would call Elijah home and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And that is our hope as well, to be called home and to be called good and faithful servant. Note that we want to be called faithful, not sinless, not successful, just faithful. We are still saints and sinners. We still fall into sin. And if it wasn't for the grace of God through Christ Jesus, we would still be sinners. But for the sake of Christ, we are forgiven. And not even necessarily successful. We might invite people to come and hear the word, and they may listen and they may not listen. But our duty, the way that we wage that war, is to come and bring people with us to come and hear, whether they listen or they do not. God is not against you, but for you and with you, in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit that works in you so that you can live as a new creation that you become through the waters of baptism. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.